This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I am so glad that you are here today. And actually, just now saying my last name, I'm remembering when I married my husband, Luke. I'm going to tell you why I'm telling you this story in a minute, but I had to learn how to say my last name. And even now, when people say, how do you pronounce your last name? There's like a story. Like, I don't just tell them how to pronounce my last name, because apparently, when I married Luke, I said it wrong. So I have to tell you, he's sitting right here by me, and I think that I think he wishes I wasn't even sharing this story. But here's the thing. My last name is spelled M-C-C-O-W-N. So I pronounced it the same way you would say down or frown. I would say McCown, right? I mean, phonetically, that makes sense to me. So I said it that way for years. And then one day this conversation came up, and Luke informed me that I was saying it wrong. So I have Luke sitting right here. So Luke, why don't you tell them what you told me because I kind of argued about how to say our last name. So tell them what you told me.
Well, she kind of argued about everything when we first got together.
Okay, I'm immediately regretting asking you to say anything.
So it was really no surprise at all, but that was part of the reason I married her. It was really no surprise at all that she had some dispute about how to say my last name, which is now our last name. And my explanation to her was phonics isn't necessarily the end-all be-all of pronunciation, i.e. Mike Krzyzewski,
okay. The
Duke head coach. If you pronounced his name the way it's spelled, you would fall all over the place.
Okay, so then the final straw, though, was you told me to go talk to who?
My grandmother, Meemaw, Margaret McCowan.
And he said, go ask Meemaw how to say our last name. So I did not actually go ask Meemaw because I was just going to take his word for it. But you say our last name.
McCowan.
Okay, so the discrepancy is that Luke says it like there's a vowel between the W and the N, which
is silent.
Which Meemaw also says. So now the correct pronunciation, for the record, of our last name is McCowan. Like,
that is correct.
Okay, so kudos to me, because we're celebrating our 17-year anniversary this month. So 17 years of marriage, and I have finally learned to say our last name correctly. So can we all just pause and give me a round of applause? Yay. It took me 17 years.
Well done.
I've learned to say it correctly. But that is, you guys, Luke is going to be our guest on the podcast this month as we celebrate our 17 years of marriage. And we're also celebrating season one on the Best Day Ever podcast. This is the last month of season one, and so we thought, how much fun would it be to have Luke as a guest on the Best Day Ever podcast? So welcome, Luke.
So much fun. So much fun.
And really, Luke is very reluctant to do interviews with me. Before I married Luke, I was a television reporter, and he was a football player at Louisiana Tech University, and I tried numerous times to get him to let me interview him for the television station, and I never did. I never did interview him. And so maybe it took 17 years of being married to me to finally say, yes, babe, I'll let you interview me. So thank you. Appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
So we thought it would be fun to share a little bit of our story as we are reminiscing on 17 years of marriage, because I can tell you on the front end, it did not go like we thought it would go. So almost 17 years ago, I walked down the aisle in my white wedding gown, and we said, I do, and we set off on the adventure of our life. At that time, we knew we would be moving to Cleveland, Ohio, because the Cleveland Browns had drafted Luke in the fourth round of the draft that year. And so we had a plan, and we packed up our car with our boxes of wedding gifts, and our one big dog, and we moved to Cleveland, Ohio. We kind of had this five-year plan. I don't know if anybody else is like that. Maybe you make a five-year or a 10-year plan. And our plan included when we would want to have our first child and how many kids we wanted to have. And we planned on living in this first home that we got together for 5 years. And then we would kind of determine what we wanted to do then. Would we need something bigger because of the number of kids that we had, or how long we expected to be in the city? And we had our plan. And so we made the move and we began our life and career in the NFL together. And it took less than a year for us to realize this is not going according to the plan. So, Luke, why don't you tell us about that day in, what was it, April? Mm-hmm. So it was less than a year, and it was one weekend in April. What I remember is that we were expecting our first child, and we had just finished his nursery.
Yeah, so it was almost a year to the day we got drafted in 2004, and we spent the year in Cleveland. It's everybody's dream to be drafted to Cleveland, to play for the Cleveland Browns. It really is. Every quarterback's dream, especially back then. They're a better team now than we were back then. But it was a dream for us, something that we wanted, something that I worked a long time for. And being the confident people that we were, we felt like things were going to work a certain way when we got there. And felt like the gates of heaven were going to open, and we were going to turn the Cleveland Browns around, and that's not how it worked out at all. I started a handful of games, four games as a rookie on a bad team, and just kind of not the way you want to start your career. And so we wake up 1 year later, draft day morning in April of 2005. And I find out that we have been traded or are going to be traded later that day. And I remember going into Katie and just saying, "Hey, babe, I don't want to alarm you, but I think we'll be traded by the end of today."
So what's funny is when Luke asked me to marry him, I know you remember this, he woke me up. So I had been staying at a friend's house kind of around the corner from where he was staying. And he came and knocked on that door first thing in the morning. And I'm not a morning person. I think I've mentioned that on this podcast before. But he...
Understatement. Huge understatement.
Luke knows this about me. But he woke me up and I remember saying, "What are you doing?" Because I was annoyed. He woke me up. And I had gone and laid back down on the couch and turned my back to him. And he got down on one knee and he said, "I came to wake you up." And I said, "Why?" And then he said, from one knee, he said, "Because I want to wake you up every morning for the rest of your life." And so then I turned around and was very excited that he woke me up. But what was so funny is that that's how he proposed. And then I have this very distinct memory of this morning that he told me we were going to be traded. And there he is next to the bed on one knee with a very different, "Hey, babe, I think we're going to be traded today." And again, this comes on the heels of the evening before having finished the nursery for our first child. So we were, in fact, traded that day. And within 48 hours, we had moved our lives from Cleveland, Ohio to Tampa, Florida. And I don't know, Luke, I know for me, I think that I just felt like, well, maybe this was just a bit of a speed bump in our plan. And so it kind of seemed like once we got to Tampa, Florida with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, everything might get back on track.
Yeah, it almost seemed like, well, there must have been a mistake the way the plan, God's original plan, the right plan, whatever you want to call it, was implemented. And somehow lines got crossed and we were never supposed to go to Cleveland anyways. It was like, okay, well, we're going where we're supposed to be going now. Only to find out that it was about to get a lot harder in Tampa. So we got to Tampa, and mind you, Katie is 8 months pregnant when we move. Very, very much at the whatever the word is, the pause or the just not really feeling it from her doctor, she gave in and said, okay, this is your last day that you can travel before you have this baby. We moved to Tampa, boxed everything up. We have a great family that helped us get some things going, and got to Tampa, and so here we are. We got to find a new doctor. I'm learning a new offense, a new locker room, new people, new teammates and trainers and coaches, and a new way of doing things with a coach by the name of John Gruden. And Coach Gruden is notoriously hard on young quarterbacks, and so he was no different for me, and caused a lot of stress and concern. And it was a trying time, because here we are. I feel like I've got to prove myself. I feel like kind of understanding this, you don't get a whole lot of opportunities to make a good first impression. And so not only that, but now I'm about to be a dad. We're about to be parents for the first time, and in a new city, and things aren't quite like we had planned. And so there was just a whole lot of new surrounding our lives, and it generally dwelled in uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we can kind of fast forward from here, because we thought that we would settle in and it would begin to unfold like we had originally imagined, like we had originally planned. And the fact of the matter is, it did not. We had 4 years there in Tampa, and then we had yet another unexpected phone call that informed us we had been traded again, and we moved in less than 24 hours that time. And we had 3 kids at the time. And if you want to fast forward to the end of Luke's career in the NFL, we counted it up, and I think we moved a dozen times in 13 years. And so we began with a plan. And I think if we had to go back and pick one word to describe our entire career in the NFL, it would be uncertain. Mm-hmm. But Luke, I want you to share the verse that you write on your wrist tape, or that you wrote every time you took the field.
Yeah, so every game that I ever played in since about the 8th grade, I had a verse that I wrote on my wrist. And it's Proverbs 16:9. It says, a man's heart plans the way, but the Lord directs his steps. And it really became a life verse for me, just allowing me the freedom to put my career and all the things that I desired in God's hands, not taking anything off of my plate, not taking any responsibility for the hard work and the extra training sessions and the mental focus and the passion that it takes to pursue a dream. That verse doesn't take any of the responsibility for me to have all those things in place off of my plate. But what it does is it allows me to go, you know what, I have a plan. My heart does plan a way, but in God's sovereignty, He directs those steps. And that ultimately allows me to lay down my head at night and go, okay, it's not exactly how I wanted it to go. It's not exactly how I planned it to go. And there's other parts of our story woven in and out of this thing with injuries and our second son Elijah had a tumor on his head that had to be removed at just kind of an inopportune time during our career. And so there's a lot of other things that go along with that show God's sovereign hand at work within the plans that we made, mm-hmm. and ultimately worked it out even better than maybe we had hoped, even though it wasn't how we would have done it. And even though it didn't end with our, a big fireworks celebration and all of our dreams coming true, His plan worked out far better than what we would have had for ourselves.
And so some of those things we're going to talk about in the episodes to come this month on the podcast. But as we walked those steps during those first years of our marriage and Luke's career, what we finally landed on was that even when God's path seemed to sideline our plans, it never sidelined our purpose. And so we share this little bit of our story today, hoping that you find encouragement. If you are in a place in life where you had plans and nothing is going according to plan, and maybe you're wondering if you have been wrong this whole time, or what you can even do in the middle of this circumstance that seems so far off of your original plan, we just want to encourage you from what we have learned, that even when God's path seems to sideline our plans, it never sidelines our purpose. And so as we have this conversation on the Best Day Ever podcast, I hope that you're encouraged that no matter how close to your plan your life seems right now, there is still purpose for this day. And knowing that when we get up and this day has been made by the Lord and there is purpose in it, that helps us live every day as our best day ever.